I got good news for me and bad news for you. According to that clock, I've got an hour and a quarter to preach. So. Let's pray. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that in the midst of the seriousness of what worship's about, joy is there as well, because that seems to be what you are about, bringing our whole lives before you and who we really are. And we ask your blessings in our sharing today. Amen. I think I probably mentioned to you before that probably one of the, as a pastor, one of the, probably the deepest joys that a person, a pastor has, is in being able to hear the stories of the parishioners of his or her pastors. And in particular, I'm thinking today of those experiences that people have had with God, with Jesus, or with the divine. It might have been an experience at a Billy Graham rally years ago, and Billy Graham used to do that sort of thing, or it might be serving at the homeless shelter, or somewhere in between. And I think, to me, those are what I would call sacred stories. They're sacred because, well, they involve the divine, they involve God in some way. But they're also sacred because most people don't feel all that comfortable talking about their experiences with God or their experiences with the sacred. Because nowadays, people have a comfort level in speaking about what they have done or what they have experienced or created. But beyond themselves, to the other dimension of God, people really are reluctant to say very much because they feel that, well, they might be cast as some kind of crazy, I don't know, kook, or, you know, well, you know, you fill in the blank. But I think that's generally true in our everyday conversation. We would much rather kind of keep God out of our conversations so that we can appear to be on a comfort level with those with whom we're talking or with whom we are with. And I've learned over the years a few things about some of these, what I'm calling sacred stories that people have. One is that it's a myth. It's a myth to feel as though you've arrived at one of these special moments in your life as a result of your searching for God. It's a myth to think that one gets this experience with the divine as a result of one's searching for God, at least not all of the time. As though it were maybe at a spiritual retreat, or a prayer vigil, or a Bible study, or some special prayer technique or a spiritual practice that one has learned, or maybe trying to listen to a sermon without dozing off. Some of that's really hard. It's not then necessarily, because a good number of people have told me that their experience with God was when they were not even out to try to find God in the first place. It wasn't the result of some journey that they were on. It wasn't the result of some study of which they partook that they actually had this particular experience. They were trying to mind their own business, essentially, and God stumbled upon them. The second thing that I've learned over the years is that and I hate to say this, but the locations of these meetings with God were sometimes not within the confines of the church. Wow. You know, I mean, God can happen upon anybody, apparently, doing dishes or feeding the dog or mowing the lawn or, well, yeah, maybe shoveling too. But that those divine stories sometimes happen in very surprising ways while we're doing very, very ordinary things. It seems as though God has a very strange sense of timing. And yet, you know, who am I to complain? As much as I'd like to say it's all experience in church, who am I to talk to Jesus saying, well, you know, you need to have that happen during the sermon or during worship on Sunday morning? I'm thinking about this today because of the scripture reading that we shared in a few moments ago from John's Gospel, from the fourth chapter of John, about the woman at the well in that chapter. You see, in Jesus' day, the rabbis really didn't bother, waste their time talking to women about matters of faith. Now, you can get angry with me, but that's just a statement of fact, at least as far as the first century is concerned. And here's a woman with problems. First of all, she's a woman, which kind of puts her at a disadvantage right there, at least in the first century. Second, she's got some kind of baggage with her, what we would call baggage or issues, I guess you might say. And I can't tell you exactly what they are. They're really not specified, really. But I know, I'm guessing that there are some because, why? Because she's getting water at the well at, what time was it? Noon. That's not normal. Normally, women would get their water in the morning, early in the morning, for the rest of the day. There's something about this woman. Maybe, I'm guessing, for whatever reason, she's being shunned by all of the other women in the village or around her. And this is when she can get the water. Don't know that. Call that preacher's prerogative. I'm guessing that's what's happening. Third problem, well, she's a Samaritan. And the Samaritans are notorious. They collaborate with those Roman enemies. They have that odd ethnic background that the traditional Jews really didn't want to deal with from years and centuries past. So all in all, this is, generally speaking, the kind of woman who most of the people there would not want to associate and who would want to avoid. And she can't believe in this story. She can't believe that a man, a Jew, is talking to her, a Samaritan. Wrong gender, wrong ethnic group, wrong religion. And yet Jesus begins this conversation with her. He engages her at this well. Now, she didn't come for the Bible study today, I have you know. She's doing probably the most ordinary of everyday tasks for women. And as a matter of fact, she's doing the most ordinary of everyday tasks for that most women, even to this day in the world, do every day to get water for their family at a well. She's drawing water today. And Jesus says something to her about the water. And she replies with pretty astutely, you know, so where are you going to get the water without a bucket? Right? Talk about men not knowing anything. And then Jesus says something about living water. And he offers that to her despite all of these issues with her. And she runs all the way back to her people, saying to them, come, hear this man who has told me everything I've done. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? And then scriptures report that these Samaritans came back to see this guy, to see Jesus, and to see this man who had come to see, come to talk to, and engage with one, even one of them. I want to think that this woman, and you notice she has no name, as is not uncommon in the scriptures. A lot of women have no names. But she comes and becomes a kind of the first or the precursor of all of us Latter-day preachers. She's first, at least one of the very first, to tell others about Jesus. And all she wanted to do that day was to get a bucket of water, right? And it's true, I mean, Jesus did not offer to her a kind of a short course in Christian Theology 101. She didn't get the whole shebang. She wasn't even enrolled in confirmation class. She doesn't seem to understand some of the nuances, like Jesus talking about living water. But then again, I guess, how many of us really understand all of that either, right? But the scripture tells me that probably what Jesus did is much more important than what Jesus said to her. Because Jesus actually engaged this woman. He talked to her. He took her seriously, and what she said, seriously. And he calls her in his own way to witness and to preach. And as a response, she didn't blurt out starting, I don't know, she didn't recite the Lord's Prayer, or she didn't offer the creed, the Apostles' Creed, or anything like that. She was still new for that. She was still raw in her understanding for that. But she left Jesus with the question. He can't be the Messiah, can he? You see, a door was opened at that moment. She was just beginning. But what a start. What a start it was. And it all started with the question that she had. The question, really, on which everything else depends. He can't be the Messiah, can he? And all of this, this whole thing, this whole shebang of a story with Jesus and the woman at the well, the whole thing, it was at God's initiative. It wasn't the woman searching for anything or looking for anything. Like I said, she was just looking for the day's water. It was at God's initiative. And it was God's gift to a person who didn't even ask it. Someone who was, they said, the wrong person, at the wrong time, in the wrong place. I think we can all be thankful for that woman at the well. Thankful that she did not respond to Jesus saying, well, I'm busy. I've got water to draw for my family. I got meals to prepare. I've got things to do. I'm not interested in talking about faith right now. Maybe if you want, just approach me on the Sabbath and we can talk then. I'm glad that this woman at the well had the courage to listen to Jesus. Courage to relish and engage Jesus at that moment. And maybe most of all, courage to ask the question. She, as I said, she didn't know everything. As a matter of fact, I suppose by some of her understanding, she didn't know much at all. But she dared to be engaged with this mysterious guy who approached her when nobody else would, at noon, drawing water at the well of Jacob. So, my friends, who is a Christian? Well, in the light of today, in the light of John chapter 4 and the woman at the well, a Christian is a person who's willing to be open to the possibilities that something is going on. Don't know what, may not be able to articulate it very well, may not even really understand it very well, but something's going on. That maybe, just maybe, that risen Christ is not only mysterious, but is also revealing. Even though you may not have had the time and the inclination to go looking for God, and maybe the idea of looking for God kind of scares you a little bit, God and Christ might just be looking out for you. So my parting comment to you is be ready. Be ready to be engaged. Be ready to consider the question, could this be the Christ in this moment, in this experience I'm having? Amen.